lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
And Janice.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio for this Tuesday, May 17th, 2016, broadcasting live high atop the Song Talk Radio Towers in Toronto, Canada, on CJRU 1280 AM. Song Talk Radio is a show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. They can be fresh newbies or established professionals or anything in between, and together we will share tips, we will share techniques, and we'll share cool things found, and hopefully together we will all learn at least four things today about how to write better songs. Tonight, I'll be your host. My name is Phil Emery, and joining me tonight are the very dedicated members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. Action figures to come soon. Cool. Is the one and only Mr. Neil Modi.
Good evening.
And as Bruce is on actual assignment in British Columbia, we have Sonia sitting in for us.
Hello, everyone.
Yay, welcome,
thank
Sonia.
You, Sonia. Yes, Sonia was on our show just a few
just
weeks
a couple
ago.
Weeks ago, yeah.
Yes, very good show, so please listen to that one. Mm-hmm. And, of course, bravely manning our social media onslaught is Janice Ho.
Hello there.
And on the board tonight, of course, as always, is Nicole. Hi, Nicole. Nicole is waving. And don't forget, you know, we're nothing without you, the home listener, so please send your thoughts and complaints and corrections to feedback at songtalk.ca or tweet to us at songtalkradio, and we'll share your thoughts in real time. And that's always a lot of fun. Don't forget to find us on Facebook and on YouTube at Song Talk Radio. And you can subscribe to the podcast feed via the iTunes podcast directory or at Stitcher.com. Don't forget, if you like the show, please leave a review and rate the show. It helps other people find the show. And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on our very show. And speaking of guests, tonight we're very excited. We have a fantastic songwriter named Adele Dennison. She's a singer-songwriter. She's also a backcountry camper and all-around outdoors enthusiast. She firmly believes that driving manual is just more fun than driving an automatic, and that songs that tell a story are the best. Her musical influences ingrained in her memory during family road trips include the Eagles, Simon and Garfunkel, Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, and Paul Overstreet. She began writing her own songs in university, but only recently decided to start sharing them with others. Although she daylights as a mechanical engineer, which is pretty cool, she tries her best to find time to continue exploring the craft of songwriting. Thanks for coming on our show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
And you came to the Songwriters Meetup. Was it the last one or the one before?
I think I accidentally missed the last one, but I was at the
accidentally.
I just totally lost track of it. But I was at the two prior to that.
It was great, yeah. I remember the songs. They were really, really good.
Thanks a lot.
And you're a mechanical engineer, which is...
I am a mechanical engineer.
What exactly does that mean?
Well, generally, mechanical engineers deal with anything that moves, but I specifically deal with acoustics, noise, and vibrations consulting.
Oh, really?
And environmental noise is my area of expertise.
Wow, did you get in that because of the music?
Yeah, part of it is that I always liked music and thought this was sort of related. So
wow, I think the first. So is that an acoustic engineer?
Yeah, an acoustic engineer.
Oh wow! Now, have you guys worked together?
Yes, Addie. Sorry, I will make the correction. You said Adele. Her name is actually Addie.
Oh.
Adelaide.
Or Adelaide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, yeah, Addie and I have gotten together a few times to sing and just for fun play together, but I think we're going to do some more stuff together.
Yeah, I hope
plan.
So.
No, not yet.
No, we haven't written together.
Supporting on each other's songs.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Okay.
Well, it'd be interesting because you guys have very different styles. You know.
Yeah. But our personalities are very copacetic.
Yes, which well, actually having the different styles is kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
Now you've most of the stuff that I've heard you do is very country influenced. Have you tried
yes.
any other styles or?
Nope. So far, it's just been country. I haven't done a whole lot of songwriting. I've got like four songs that I'm pretty happy with. So I'll be playing half of those today. so I'm still just getting going.
But some of your influences, like the Eagles and whatnot, they're not, Garth Brooks, I guess, is, but
yeah.
some of your influences are not strictly country.
Yeah, that's right. I don't really know where the line is between, like, say, folk and country.
Yeah.
Especially if all you have is a guitar. I don't know. True. Like, it's sort of, I feel like it's a lot of it's in the instrumentation that backs it up. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm country or folk or what it is.
Well, I think it's pretty country stuff. What made you decide to start?
Yeah, okay, the two songs I'm playing today are pretty country.
Your hat is pretty country
and
as well. She's wearing the best hat, everyone.
So what made you decide to start writing songs?
I have always liked writing, and I guess I was looking for a creative outlet with my job being so, like, mathematical and science-focused.
Right.
It's nice to have a creative outlet. And I find, with my work, I end up driving out in the country a lot because I do environmental noise. So I'm alone in the car, and I find myself just, like, singing to myself. And then, so that's where some of my songs have been written, kind of like that. And then I'll sit down later and try to put it together in a cohesive sort of.
So how are you keeping track of your ideas?
I tend to sing them into my phone. Record them like that, and then listen to them later.
And on the off chance that your boss is listening, she is working while she's doing this.
Yes,
that's true.
And I don't use my cell phone while I'm driving.
Okay, yeah, that's the other key thing.
And now, so you went to the songwriters meetup. What was your impression of that?
Yeah, it was great. I really liked it. I've been to two of them now, and I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really great to meet other people that share the interest in songwriting that I have. I don't really have very many friends that are into it, so it was yeah. Nice to meet like-minded people, and there was great feedback from everybody, and I think diverse feedback. Everybody sort of listens for something different, if it's lyrics or melody or whatever.
Have you taken any of the feedback and reworked any of the songs you presented at the...
Sonia told me to put a capo on the second song.
Yeah, I told you to change the key.
Yeah, you told me to change the key, so yeah. I did that. I'm trying to think. I don't remember anything else specifically. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting because when Sonia was playing, you started playing guitar as a way of kind of limiting your palate, and some of the guitar playing on yours is actually quite bare bones, which it's kind of nice because it's sort of like songwriting in sort of its most sort of pure form. Like there's no kind of, you know, there's no kind of fancy riff work. It's just kind of pure melody, lyrics and chords in a very
and story. Way. I think that makes the story stand out a lot. Like in Addie's writing, that's what appealed to me immediately. We met at the songwriters meetup. That's where we connected, and as soon as I heard her song, like that's what drew me in was the story. I fully just, and you'll hear that one tonight. Are you playing Red Dirt tonight?
Yeah, I'm gonna play that one.
And it's interesting. I remember just thinking about how clearly focused the song was on a very clear idea, and it made me realize how non-specific a lot of my songs that I've written are not, which is probably why I have such trouble with lyrics, actually, is because it's not starting off with that very clear idea.
Yeah. Mm. When I listen to music, I always listen to the lyrics, and I figured that everybody did that, but...
Nope.
No, yeah. Now that... the more I talk to people, or like, I'll be in a car with some people, and I'll laugh, because the lyrics and the song on the radio are funny, and they'll go, what's so funny? I'm like, weren't you listening to that? And like, I guess lots of people don't necessarily... So for when I'm writing it, I am very lyric-focused, and my guitar skills are quite rudimentary, so that's why they're so.
Well, you don't need you don't need a lot of chords. They always said, you know, Emmy Lou Harris knows how to play four songs, and she seems to have done okay.
Four chords.
Yeah. Well, the key was four, right?
Yeah, there's always something. I mean, if you're a really flashy, skilled guitarist, and then you try to introduce a story in on top of your flashy guitar playing, you know, you're kind of working on two levels, and you know, maybe they can clash.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's actually, you're right. It is kind of pure when one element is simple and the other element is more complex.
Yeah, no, I think actually starting off simple is a great idea, and that's one of the great things about playing an instrument you don't normally play. So, I mean, have you always wanted to write music, or is this?
growing up, I played the piano and didn't really enjoy it that much. It was classical piano. And then I started learning guitar when I was in university, and I would write songs when I was in university as a form of procrastination, I think. And none of those were ever, like, I never really polished them up to the point where I would want to share them with anybody. But then, yeah, with all of the driving, I guess, that I've been doing with work, I've always loved music. I used to sing in a choir a lot in high school and then in university, too. So I've always really liked music. Yeah.
When you started out, were you playing cover songs?
Yeah, I started playing covers.
Right.
Like who?
Like, oh, man. I like Carolyn Don Johnson. She's Canadian, country singer. And the Eagles. I play a lot of the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the few Simon and Garfunkel songs that I could handle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely those people are masters of melody and form, you know. It'll be interesting, you know, if you've grown up on more kind of hip-hop influenced music, it'd be interesting where you wind up from a melodic standpoint. You know, I think we had the fortune to grow up with, you know, the Eagles and Paul Simon and these really fine songwriters in the classical sense, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't hear those quite strong melodies as much anymore, you know?
Well, no. You probably don't listen to country radio, but country radio right now is pretty...
It's very poppy.
It's very poppy. And very, like, there's a lot of hip-hop in it, too. Like, they rap and stuff.
Sam Hunt.
Sam Hunt has lots of
sort of genre bending.
Yeah, it's quite different from...
Well, I think the country genre is actually, I think, one of the more successful genres. I think, you know, pop is kind of... In the pure sense, it's kind of sort of fallen away. So, you know, the alternative rock is kind of on the low side. And I think Nashville is where everyone's kind of gotten into. And your stuff is very kind of pure country, though. It's kind of very Hank Williams kind of, you know, that old style.
Yeah.
It harkens back to the old days.
I like the more classic stuff.
Yeah, so do I. Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'm a punk from playing in punk bands. Mm-hmm. And what very often happens with older punks is they wind up getting into country. And it's always the sort of old country, which is sort of the very kind of old style.
Mm-hmm.
Because it still has a very clear, honest, direct directness to it that kind of punk does, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, it's music I've actually never kind of really written myself. It's always been, I mean, I've enjoyed it, but I've never actually written it myself.
What if there's a fusion country punk band out there?
Probably.
Probably.
Well, why don't we hear the first song?
Sure.
Okay. But can you tell us something about it?
Sure. So this song is called Wheelhouse, and I guess a bit on the songwriting process. My boss at work said the word wheelhouse in a meeting, and I just thought, man, that's a cool word. And so I thought, oh, that should be in a song. And so I sort of, I don't know, chewed on it for, like, probably 2 months and was thinking, like, oh, what could my wheelhouse be? What could my wheelhouse be? And I settled on revenge. So that was, and then the rest of the song sort of came out of brainstorming around themes of, like that.
Yes, this is this isn't actually, like, a biographical song.
It's definitely not... very fictional song.
That's great. Okay.
Okay. Last week you came home late 3 times. It's like you're trying to drive me right out of my mind. Well, let me tell you, baby, it's a real short drive when you come home wearing that Chanel number 5, and that ain't mine. So I'm calling you to say with the rule, you're gonna rule the day you were ever untrue. I poured your scotch down the sink and the bourbon too. I drove your jacked up Jeep right into the pool, and you're a damn fool. 'Cause you might lie and you might cheat, but no one does revenge like me. Baby, you're in my wheelhouse now. And I set fire to your baseball cards. I smashed a hole in the wall with your steel guitar. And all the while I smoked your best cigars. I guess you should have kept your hand out of the cookie jar. 'Cause now I'm saying au revoir.
Cause you might lie and you might cheat, but no one does revenge like me. Baby, you're in my wheelhouse now, and you play the game just like a fox. Well, you might have cheated, but you lost. Cause you might lie and you might cheat, but no one does revenge like me. Baby, you're in my wheelhouse now. I hope you had fun running around. I'm so glad we got that joint bank account. Cause now I'm flying high and skipping town. Got me a private jet and I'm Mexico bound. Can't catch me now. Cause you might lie and you might cheat, but no one does revenge like me. Baby, you're in my wheelhouse now. Baby, you're in my wheelhouse now. Hey, baby, you're in my wheelhouse now.
All right.
That was Wheelhouse by Adelaide Dennison on CJRU 1280 Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and tonight Sonia. Wow, what a fantastic song.
Thanks.
Sonia.
Well, I must say that knowing you a little bit and then hearing the lyrics to that song, how different those are, and I love that you brought that part of yourself out, like the fun, playful side where you're just like, what would I do if I were to be revengeful? Because I don't think there's a revengeful bone in your body.
No, I'm not really.
So I just love, and I love that about your songwriting in general, your sense of play and the fact that you really create like a visual when you write. That's what I really love. All of the things that you're mentioning, all the different things that you're going to do for revenge. Mm. Bring up these images. You know, I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but like the driving the Jeep into the pool, the spilling of the drink, the burning of the baseball cards, you know, smashing a hole in the wall with your steel guitar. All of the things that you're saying, they're just, yeah, they evoke these amazing images when I hear the song. I like it.
It is such a fantastically crafted song. In terms of the way the lines hit, the way they, you know, it's, there wasn't an awkward, jumbled, you know, you didn't try to jam anything in that it wasn't supposed to be jammed in. It's, you know, it's such a clean song and such a pure song. That's what I was saying, like, you know, you're playing simple chords, and I don't think there's even that much of a difference between your verse and your chorus, although it certainly sounded like there was a chorus, but I mean, it wasn't like you went to a different key or
anything. No, yeah.
But it just, like, this is, like, in your songwriting history, is this like your fourth or your third or your?
This was the second song that I wrote.
Wow, man.
Well, so like the second song in the last 2 years, because there was all that stuff I did when I was in university that was sort of very structured.
Yeah, I mean, it's practically I think almost a perfect song, really.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, there's like nothing. Sloppy. The way the rhymes are is fitting together. Just it's just an incredible song. I remember when you played this, and I was just going, "Wow, this is," you know, I could see this being sold to, you know, like a country artist, mm-hmm. really easily. Actually, it's got sass. It's got like this attitude, but the attitude is very consistent all the way through. There's a story, but it's not a super complex story, but it's clear, it's visual, it's just a brilliant, brilliant piece of songwriting, I think. Neil?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I mean, it's incredibly focused, right? It's like you had this idea, you started with the wheelhouse, okay, what can I do with the wheelhouse revenge? And like Phil was saying, everything is very consistent throughout, and it's very closely tied together. There's nothing in there that kind of, you know, comes out of left field or, so, you know, that's kind of awkward, that's kind of weird. There's nothing like that, right? It's very, very, very consistent that way. Are the chords in the chorus the same as the verse?
They're not in the same order.
They're not the same, okay,
but they are
order.
The same chords.
Right, because there is a really nice lift to the chorus. You're certainly changing the melody and everything like that. The thing I really thought was cool about the verse, and we talked about this actually with was a Stephen Tate's, no, it was Scott Neary last week about asymmetrical structures, right? Because you have timed mind drive Chanel number 5, you know, that's like a AABB rhyme, and then you do another B and add A mind on the first verse. It's kind of cool how you would expect the verse just to end with the four lines, mm-hmm. but then you throw on that little tag at the end, which is super cool, mm-hmm. right? Because you're not really expecting that, and then it just sort of floats in at the end. And again, you keep it consistent for every single verse. If there's one suggestion I would make, mm-hmm. and you did this at the end, but I wanted it earlier. I wanted to hear the chorus. The chorus is too short for my taste, right? It was like, because you might lie, you might cheat, no one does revenge like me, baby, you're in my wheelhouse now, and you're out. Yeah. It's like, that's not enough. I want to hear it either repeated, mm-hmm. I think you could repeat it verbatim, or you could just repeat the first two lines and save the wheelhouse now for the end, or even introduce two more lines.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think doing a song which is really basic like this, and the way you are doing your songs, Sonia, is that it does kind of allow someone to take the song and do some arrangements and kind of, you know, build it up if they wanted to in a recording session. And I think that's maybe why it sounds very traditional, because it doesn't have those, you know, the repeated choruses. But I mean, you could do it, exactly, because it is such a short chorus and such a strong chorus.
It's a very strong chorus. That's why I wanted to hear it again.
I almost think it's more effective just the way it is. Anyway, I mean, the punch that it gives, just like, bam, there it is. And you want to hear more, and it's kind of like, leave them wanting more.
Well, exactly.
I don't know.
And then that's totally the other. I mean, I'm just throwing it out as a suggestion. What I wanted, but I got it at the end, because you did build it up at the end, which was very cool, mm-hmm. right? So it's a bit of a, it's like you're teasing the audience, right?
So when you were working on this song, I mean, was, can you talk about doing the lyrics? Was it something that you had to kind of struggle with? Did this take a lot of work?
Can I see them? Because that, I don't know the words to my own song. I was going to say something else. Oh, to the point you guys were talking about, just the song structure. It's a very short song. Like, I think it comes in at like 2.5 minutes or something like that.
Which is perfectly
fine.
It
would be nice if there was like a guitar solo or something in there. It could have like, anyways. Okay, so the lyrics. I think I wrote the first verse fairly quickly. But because this is fairly far outside of like who I actually am as a person, it was difficult to come up with the things that I would do, and I was sort of Googling like what people do to like get back at people, and like I do a lot of Googling, and I found a picture of someone's car in a pool, and I thought, oh man, that's good. So like that one was good, and then but I also struggled a little bit because it's so specific, I was worried it was going to sound cheesy, so it was like hard to find a way to do it that wasn't too cheesy.
I don't think it's cheesy.
It's a little cheesy, anyways. But
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, it's totally pure.
No. Okay,
cool. I think it's specific, but it's not cheesy.
Okay, we got an email from Bruce. Greetings from Kelowna, BC. Cool song. My brother liked it too. Thanks, Bruce.
Cool.
Hi, Bruce.
Awesome. Hey, Bruce.
It's great. I love the bridge too. It's just a 2-line bridge. But there's one thing that a little opportunity for a hook, which I think you kind of missed, because you have that wonderful sort of raise, I think, in the second line. Could you do the bridge again?
Do you want me to play it? Like play it?
Yeah.
I'll do the chorus too, maybe. Yeah. You might lie, you might cheat, but no one does revenge like me. Baby, you're in my wheelhouse now, and you play the game just like a fox. Well, you might have cheated, but you lost.
Yeah, that the might have cheated is just, it's just beautiful. I mean, it's just such a perfect line. But when you go down to you lost, like you repeat the melody of the top, like it feels like it wants to go down. Like, that I thought you lost, like something like that you go down on that line.
Okay.
The last two lines, like it feels like it needs that kind of, as opposed to just repeating the two notes that you did above.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, like it just seems like it sort of needs that little tweak.
We got a tweet in from Tony Burns. He says, repeat the chorus if you find the audience is singing along. Otherwise, leave as is. which is a good tip.
Well, it's true. I mean, I think that's one of the issues with a short chorus is I don't know if people would sing along.
I don't know. They need to hear it once in order to sing along.
Yeah. We would be halfway through before they would realize that the chorus is happening.
They don't know how short it is.
Or you could leave, like, you could leave the little taste of it leading up, and then at the end you could repeat it a bunch of times, like, after your rockin' guitar solo, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what she did, anyway.
Yeah. Now, the bridge, you know, for a new songwriter, the bridge is just so strong. What made you decide to do the bridge? Like, you felt that it needed it, or...?
Yeah, when I listen to songs on the radio and stuff, I'm always paying a lot of attention to the structure of them. Mm. So I just felt like it needed a bridge, and I was aware that songs have bridges. I think all of the songs I've written so far have a bridge. I think that the overall structure of them is, like, of the songs that I've written is quite similar, where there's, like, verses, chorus, bridge. I haven't really strayed from that too much.
That's all.
Because that's
ever
just
do.
Sort of the, classic kind of that. And yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when I listen to songs on the radio, I'll be really enjoying a song.
Yeah.
And then a lyric will be in there that I just think is really lazy. And I'll get really mad because, but it's so good. And then there's that thing that you're like, oh man.
Well, I was actually listening to, YouTube is so cool because you start going and listening to some old music, and I started listening to some old Billy Joel off his first couple of records, and you realized how jazzy a lot of the pop was back then, but how long some of his songs were. Like, the hits were actually really long, like 5 or 6 verses. And I mean, with taglines and musical bits, I mean, we're so used to, like, you know, like, I do punk stuff, so it's like 3 minutes and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
My band had a song that was 5 minutes, but we wouldn't do it live because we felt it was too, you know, it was too pretentious because it was 5 minutes.
I know what you mean.
But, it's because it didn't feel like a short song to me.
Oh, good. That's
good. Certainly felt like it was just the right length.
I think because the story is complete in it. You know, you have like a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's very clear.
And what's nice is it's it's not a complicated thing. It's just you're on a plane to Mexico. So I guess Mexico doesn't have an extradition treaty with Canada or U.S.? Is that how it works? I always wondered about that. I mean,
I don't actually know. Maybe I should have looked into that a little bit before.
If you Google it or you watch some TV show, they're always taking off to Mexico.
That's true. So
there must be something to that. Yeah. did you write all lyrics first and then come up with a guitar riff, or could it kind of come together at the same time, or
the guitar for like the backing and the melody and stuff?
Yeah.
I wrote the lyrics to the first verse and the melody sort of simultaneously, and then I because my guitar is fairly limited and I only know so many chords, sometimes I find if I try to put the chords in before I'm really like comfortable with the melody, when I go to add the chords, I end up changing the melody to fit it to chords that I know instead of finding the chords that fit the melody tend to write it and like really make sure that I've got the melody the way that I want it, and then record it, and then I make myself find the right chords that fit what I've sung, because sometimes that's a bit challenging for me. But yeah, so I put the guitar in after I've got the melody. Like,
that's great. And I think that's why your melodies are so strong. I mean, these are not beginner melodies. I mean, these are not like, you know, one phrase repeated over and over again. These are really like, you know, each line has its own. Has its own life. It's it really comes clear that that you really do focus on the melody, and that's why it's a great song. You know, you don't have to have like lots of chords. You just have to have you know, a great melody and a great and great lyrics, which you have. And you can always hire some guitar, you know, slacker to.
Well, but that being said, I even found your guitar playing as a supporting instrument to be more than adequate.
Yeah,
because
you know the little mutes and the little things, like it had rhythmic interest more than it had kind of riff interest.
But
that's enough, you know, and that's perfectly great.
Cool. Yeah, no, I never felt like you were struggling through it. I think people say, "Oh, I'm not, you know, I don't play my instrument well enough." You don't really have to. you know, you can actually just work on your melody. But I think it's important actually when, and I think that's what happened with when you play an instrument really well, is you start sort of, the instrument starts kind of guiding you a lot in terms of what your melody is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, whereas if you just concentrate on the melody, then you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a great song. Have you you've recorded this, you sent us a recording. Is this available somewhere?
I put it up on SoundCloud, which I gave you guys the link. I don't know if we'll
tweet
it up
that
on
out.
It's up on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. And Sonia, why don't you tell us about something cool?
I'm going to tell you about the halftime break sheet that I have in front of me in my best radio voice. For those just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, except it's not Bruce. Today, it's me, Sonia. CJRU, 1280 AM, and tonight, our guest is Addie Dennison. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or via email at feedback.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have May 24th, a theme show, Song Structures. May 31st, Liz German. June 7th, Blair Packham of Song Studio and the Jitters. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Sunday, May 29th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transat Club. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details.
Thank you, Sonia. It's like being on CBC in the 60s, you know?
In the 60s.
When I was young, I didn't play house. I played radio.
Yeah, no, just brilliant stuff. And so we've tweeted out, what is Sonia's, or what is Adelaide's SoundCloud? I don't think I have it here. The link?
We got the tweet out. So if you want to hear more of Addie's music, you can visit her at soundcloud.com/Adelaide Fields. Check out at Song Talk Radio on Twitter for that link.
Yeah.
Is that like Strawberry Fields?
Yeah, I don't know. I put that in there, and now I can't figure out how to change it. So
that's
it is now.
I like it.
It's cool.
It's
nice.
There's something fieldy about you.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought maybe I wouldn't want to use my real last name because I didn't want the people I work with to find me, but it's too late for that now. So.
Well, the great songs.
I think they should find you.
Now, do you prefer Addie or Adelaide?
People call me Addie.
Addie, okay.
But I think Adelaide looks pretty, so I use it when I'm writing my name on a page or something like that.
So do you plan on performing live at any point? Or?
Sonia and I have gone to a couple of open mic nights at the Free Times and the Transat Club. Yeah.
But before you came to the meetup group, were you getting feedback from anybody on stuff you're writing?
I had posted stuff on Facebook and had been a little bit like disappointed that people would like it, but people weren't talking about it.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. So I was really like hungry for people who I could talk to about it, which the round table really, really is great for that.
There is a great online community called the Muses Muse.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's musesmuse.com. Janice, you know it.
Well, they actually shut down their original site, but somebody resurrected it. So if you Google Muses Muse, like songwriting board, you'll find it.
Okay, cool.
And they have specific forums on there for song reviews, and people will write fairly detailed feedbacks and things.
Cool.
It's really a really good site for that.
Well, it's tough because, you know, when people who don't know anything about music, they'll just say, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, okay. A lot of people listen to tunes and they know if they like it or they know if they don't like it. But beyond that, they can't. They don't really know how to dissect it.
Well, and like I said, I don't think everyone listens to lyrics quite the way that I like. Yeah, most people don't really listen to the lyrics, and if you don't listen to the lyrics, there's not a whole lot in my because there's not a lot musically going on with it in terms of like instrumentation and stuff.
I mean, strong melodies. I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's not like.
But it doesn't sound like, at least in the recordings I have, like they don't sound like full polished songs, right? They're
an
acoustic.
I think that
that's because you listen to the lyrics first.
Yeah,
maybe it's because I listen to the lyrics first.
Yeah,
because I'm a huge Addie Dennison fan.
But there's still a strong melody and strong arrangements and things, a strong structure and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I mean, the stuff that you sent us certainly does not sound like it was like a rough recording. It actually sounds really clear and balanced and stuff. So
good,
you know. Yeah. But it is tough when you're writing songs in a vacuum. It's nice to be able to actually get clear ideas. And that's the nice thing about the meetup group is that you actually get clear but constructive suggestions, you know, as opposed to just people going, oh, that's good. Or, you know, sometimes if you go to some of the industry things, they can be just a bit brutal because in their world, they have to worry about whether something's going to sell. And that's not, as a songwriter, you want to sort of learn how to develop that, you know, develop writing your song.
That being said, when I heard Wheelhouse, I was like, I want electric guitar and drums on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, when I heard Wheelhouse, I just thought you could actually sell, like, that's a sellable song.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
You know, produce that and do it.
So your next song is Red Dirt.
Yes.
And why don't you tell us something about that?
Sure. So the song is called Red Dirt. It's another fictional song. And I wanted to write a song where the chorus meant something different by the time you got to the end of the song than it does at the beginning. And I also made it quite subtle. So I find people don't necessarily catch it. So I'm going to tell you up front that there's a twist to it at the end. And hopefully people can catch the sort of double meaning of the chorus.
Right. The lyrics are online. So
the lyrics are online.
And follow along on the lyrics as they are with all our guests.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say about it, really.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about it more after I play it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is the one I'm supposed to put the capo on. Home for me is Ten Sleep, Wyoming, where cattle graze on the open range. Russet cliffs watch over rivers rolling, and west winds dance across the plains. I was raised in the Bighorn Mountains, sleeping under stars on a cattle drive, dreaming about wild mustangs and cowboys, their spirits ride through those wistful pines. Oh, the pines. My heart is happiest beneath wide open skies. It's out here on the frontier that I feel most alive. These rough and calloused ranching hands were raised to break new ground. I was born on red dirt, and that's where they'll lay me down. When I was young, my daddy told me stories about John Coulter and the mountain men. And I dream of taking off across the prairies to be a fearless explorer just like them. But there ain't no wild, wild west left to settle, and there ain't much room left for a wandering heart. Some might call me sentimental, but I've been a rover from the start. Oh, the start. My heart is happiest beneath wide open skies. It's out here on the frontier that I feel most alive. These rough and calloused ranching hands were raised to break new ground. I was born on red dirt, and that's where they'll lay me down. I finally found an adventure all my own. When those rockets
carried me into the great unknown. And it's a quiet night tonight, intensely, but I'm 200 million miles away, and the air here is cold, and my path is steep, but Phobos and Deimos light my way. Oh, 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 oh. My heart is happiest beneath wide open skies. It's out here on the frontier that I feel most alive. These rough and calloused ranching hands were raised to break new ground. I was born on red dirt, and that's where they'll lay me down. Yes, I was born on red dirt, and that's where they'll lay me down.
Brilliant. That was Red Dirt by Addie Dennison on Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neil, Phil, and Sonia on CJRU 1280 Toronto. Another great song. What a great chorus. I mean, the chorus.
Thanks.
That is
the chorus
a song
is stunning.
Mm-hmm. Is just, yeah, yeah, people would awesome definitely sing along with that. And just, again, you know, not one line that you're repeating over and over, but each line had its own melody and development. Just a great song. So now, do we know what the twist is at the end?
Yeah, we know because we have the lyric sheet and everything.
Do you know what the twist is at the end?
I did figure it out.
Okay.
Because I was listening to it on my iPod, so mm-hmm. I didn't have the lyrics.
You figured it out before?
From listening, from yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
So, well, I sort of figured about it, and then I thought it'd be an interesting thing to talk about. Yeah. So of course the twist is that she's a robot. Right?
No.
An astronaut.
Not a robot? She's not a robot. She's an astronaut.
Astronaut, yes. And you're on Mars.
And she's on Mars.
Yeah.
Here's my thought about that. Okay, we already said the chorus is gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
Thanks.
However, if you want to bring that twist more into the forefront, I think what you have already, it's a quiet night, tonight, and Ten Sleep. I'm assuming Ten Sleep is like a...
It's a little town in Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
It's a, yeah.
Here I thought, given the rest of it, I thought maybe it was like a reference to a section of the space shuttle or something like that.
Oh, no. I didn't think that hard about it.
Maybe it should be. But I'm 200 miles away, air is cold, and my path is steep, and Phobos and Deimos?
Deimos.
They're the moons Deimos. Of...
Yeah, the moons of Mars are
moons of Mars.
Phobos. And Deimos, I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly.
Because a lot of people don't know that. I think you even told me that before, and I forgot what Phobos mm-hmm. and Deimos... I knew there were moons, but I wasn't sure.
I'm a bit of a sci-fi nerd.
But here's my suggestion. Mm-hmm. After that verse, you go into the chorus again, and you repeat the chorus the same way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I would modify that last chorus to be something like... My heart is happiest in the middle of outer space. Out here on the frontier, I feel most alive. That still applies
mm-hmm.
When you're out in space. Rough and callous ranching hands maybe doesn't, but maybe something more that an astronaut would do. And instead of being born on red dirt, I've now landed on red dirt. Or something, you know, that sort of alludes to the fact that you've gotten
somewhere. I had actually a couple of thoughts about that is... because it reminded me a bit of the theme for Firefly.
The show?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, you'd actually
theme.
Probably really like it.
I really like Firefly.
It's great, and it's unfair.
It's basically cowboys in space. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole genre, this yeah. whole yeah, yeah. space it's, cowboy
it's,
thing,
it's,
right?
It's great, and it actually has this sort of country song. Kind of written like a country song, but written from
so they
talk about sending me out.
Yeah,
you know, I want
up.
To go back out into the black. They call it
okay.
into the black, yeah. and it's, I think you really like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought you were a Firefly. Is I understand what you're kind of going for,
mm-hmm.
but like you have two full verses of kind of establishment of ideas. You mm-hmm. know, like you know about. Being part of the country and there's no new frontiers.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could actually do that in one verse,
mm-hmm.
and you could bring the sort of moving into a new frontier, like into the second verse, and then repeat that as the third verse. Because, like, you have two verses, and they're kind of, you're sort of saying the same thing pretty well all the way through. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, it's very much, you know, about the earth, and then you talk about how, you know, your dad told me stories, and about, you know, and there's no new frontiers. And I think you didn't need to do that in the second verse. I think you could have done that in the first verse, and then brought that kind of movement, because the only thing is... You say rockets in the bridge, but your bridge only comes through once, and it's over so fast. And I think, you know, because most people don't know about the moons. So I think, I mean, and it may not be important, but I like the idea about, you know, being, you know, laid in the red dirt, because if you are going to go to Mars, it's a one-way trip. You know, you're going to be laid in the red dirt whether you want to or not. So, well, what would you think?
Well, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with Neil on changing the chorus, because I like the subtlety of it. I like the fact that it stands alone with or without recognizing the Mars thing. The very first time I heard it, I didn't understand the Mars thing. The second time I heard it, I did, and it, like, brought a whole new perspective to me. I was like, oh, that's so smart. It's like, it's an even better song than I originally thought it was. Like, and I really, really liked it upon first hearing, thinking that it was just a beautiful sort of evocative storytelling song about about these red, like, ranching hands and all these images again that I'm in love with. But I feel like it would take away from sort of the poetry, the way that you're establishing your metaphors and stuff like that, if you were to spell it out more again. I think audiences are smarter than we give them credit for sometimes.
That's why I prefaced what I was saying, was if you want to spell it out more, that would be a possible way to do it. That's not a suggestion.
But maybe what I kind of understand what you're saying, like in the second part after you sing your first chorus, you have two verses that are essentially saying
the same thing.
A similar thing, right? And you could combine that idea, like, keep the two sections, but you could combine that idea in one section, and then in the second section write a new verse that perhaps gives a little bit more space illusion, like using a few more spacey type of words that are more recognizable than the Phobos and Deimos.
Here's the thing about that, because you go through two verses and two choruses, and it's a pretty laid back song, it's not fast.
Nope.
You know, so you're kind of taking your time. By the time you get to that point, you're already probably 2 minutes plus into the song.
Yeah.
And so it's like just Phil was saying, you've clearly established this is what the song is about.
Yeah.
And the chances of that twisting or changing into something else, very, very small. Which is why when you bring it in the end, it is a twist. If you were to bring it in earlier, then it's kind of a half and half. It's not really a twist anymore. It's just sort of
an
evolution. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying it's a different creature then.
I think with the second verse, you could actually do something about talking more about leaving.
Yeah.
And find, like, because you talk about there's no frontier, but you don't talk about, you know, leaving. Like, if you're talking to, you know, like the love of your life and saying, you know, I have to find my new... find my new frontier and I have to leave, or, and then there's some idea that there's kind of a movement.
Right.
You know, just a little, it just, I think there's more you can do in that second verse. And it doesn't have to be maybe as blatant as, you know, I'm getting in my spaceship or anything like that. That might be a little bit cheesy, but I think there's more you can do in that second verse.
Tweet in from Tony Burns. In my humble opinion, the subtlety is what makes this song great. Don't make it obvious.
Amen, Tony.
Tony has spoken.
No, Tony
has spoken. No, I agree. Wait. I like the subtlety of it.
Yeah,
I think,
but that's maybe a personal preference. I don't know. I think
I definitely was aiming to be subtle. Very subtle. Yeah. But I do like the idea of giving it a bit more movement in the second.
Yeah, I think the last thing Phil hit on was probably a good idea.
Yeah,
so to sort of just talk about leaving, like not talk about space, but talk about the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it is kind of, there is a bit of melancholy in the song. I mean, and it'd be kind of nice to play off that a bit more.
It's hard. I'm assuming you all have the same problem, but like when I was writing it, I did all my research and stuff and had like put all my ideas together. And then I really liked all of these. And I was sort of thinking like, yeah, maybe I should have something about like moving, leaving, or whatever, but I couldn't find a way of saying that that I liked as much as what I already had for this. So I agree that it should have a bit more movement, but now I'm attached to it.
I know. Well, yeah, I mean, all these things are, you know, choices, and it's just nice, you know, when you bring stuff to other songwriters, you just go, oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But you can also go, you know, I'm not going to do those changes, you know.
I just want to say one other thing about this song very quickly. The incorporation of the title. Like, this is sort of, maybe this is sort of a lesson, but I mean, like, normal sort of pop writing or whatever, they'll just, you could have elected to do the chorus, red dirt, red dirt, red dirt, like, that thing, but the way you actually incorporated the phrase red dirt, your title, into the context of the narrative is, I thought, very cool.
Thanks.
I really like it when songwriters do that, where it's not just repeating the title over and over again.
Yeah, going red dirt, inside, red dirt,
I mean, it's... That's probably what a punk band would do.
That's true. Hey, we all have our jobs to do.
That's right.
Yeah,
well.
But it's, it's true, because it felt kind of almost very traditional.
Yeah.
That was part of the goal, too.
Yeah.
Because space is not traditional country topic.
No.
So I wanted it to sound very country otherwise.
Yeah.
This is very subtle, though. Yeah. It probably needs.
But again, I mean, if you want to keep it that subtle, I think it's perfectly fine too. Yeah. Saying if you do want to do it the other way,
I think the Phobos and the Devos at the end, it's like I kind of get what you're going for, but I think the problem is when people hear stuff, they're not. You know, sometimes you mishear things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you have a favorite song and you think it says one thing, and then you find out what the lyrics are.
Oh, that happens to me all the
time. And you're disappointed, and you're going, like, really?
Yeah, because the other thing, like, when you sing, but I'm 200 million miles away, I mean, when first time I heard that, I thought it was going to be a metaphor for something. Like, what's she getting at? I didn't take it literally.
Yeah, and, also, people probably don't have a direct concept for how far that is.
Yeah, and if it's your first time listening to the song, you're not expecting it, right? Especially if you don't give context beforehand, so... They're gonna hear it, and then they're gonna miss it because you keep singing. It's not like the audience member has time to process that information necessarily on time, unless you set it up bit more.
It just gets
them.
It back to the question: how much do you want to give the audience, and how much do you want to not give them?
Yeah,
that's really a choice.
Yeah, it's interesting, but you'll have to watch Firefly, because I think you'll.
I think I'm definitely gonna look it up.
You have Netflix. Sure. It's on Netflix.
Yes, it's on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and it's definitely easy to binge watch, but stretch it out. You'll enjoy it more because they only made not that many of them, you know. So, but
I think
that is the time. That is all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and Sonia. Sonia, thanks so much for sitting in.
Thank you for having me.
It was awesome.
A fantastic job. We'd like to thank our guest, Addie Dennison. Addie, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, will you come back on again?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Fantastic stuff. And don't forget to send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on our show. And subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher. And don't forget our newsletter. You can sign up to at songtalk.ca, and you can find links to all the products, books, and services and that we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Sunday, May 29th, in between 1 and 4 p.m. at the Transact Club at Bloor and Brunswick. It's free to join the meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those juicy details. And we'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto for putting up with us. We'd like to thank you, the home listener, and we'd like to thank Janice Ho for manning the social media channels, and most of all, we'd like to thank you as a home listener. Thanks, Nicole, for manning our board. You did a fantastic job tonight. Thank you, Nicole. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow Neil at
Mondo Art.
You can follow Janice at
Janice Ho Tweet.
You can follow Nicole at
Nicole K. DiDonato.
And you can follow Sonia at
Kitchen_Boudoir.
Kitchen_Boudoir. It's a very good one. I follow it myself. Eddie, are you on Twitter?
Not really. No.
But you can, if you go to songtalk.ca, we'll have the links to Addie's fine SoundCloud page and a Facebook page.
Yep.
And don't forget to please stop by this website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out if you can be a guest on our very show. That's all the time we have tonight. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more Song Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.